Calling to order the Rancho Marietta Community Service District's regular security committee meeting for November 4th, 10 a.m. Item number two, and Amelia, just for my own edification, are you going to be the one that reads this so that it's consistent instead of having like the knucklehead that's on personnel committee have to do it, then this knucklehead, et cetera, et cetera? And my point is, as long as we're consistent, I think it might fall to you for item number two.
Very good. I can read it. Item number two, consider finding that as a result of the COVID-19 emergency, one, meeting in person would present imminent risks to health or safety of attendees, and two, the meeting is authorized to be held by teleconference pursuant to Government Code 54953, subsection E1C. And so this is saying that this committee wishes to hold this particular meeting on teleconference. This will be a recurring item on all of our committee meeting agendas so that we could reauthorize it every meeting. Would you like to continue via teleconference, Tim?
I would.
Okay, thank you.
And just for everybody's edification, none of this has to do with government being more efficient. Mr. Shanahan, our legal counsel, made that extremely clear that this is a product of the Capitol, and it has nothing to do with government being efficient. Speaking with other board members, the efficiency factor of the committees meeting this way is exponential. So be it. Moving on to item number three, comments from the public.
Amelia, no chats.
Thank you very much. Item number four, monthly updates. Kelly, please.
Thank you. I'd like to first start off by saying I'm very happy to have two possible new gate officers in the HR process. And we hopefully, one of them, Jane, we just completed her background, and we hopefully to start her this Monday for training. The other gate guard applicant is coming in for his final interview this Friday with the GM. And hopefully after Friday, we as well, we'll get him in the background process, and we'll have two new gate officers fully starting their training before the end of November. So excited about that. Going on patrol, not cover shift. We only had four new hours to add to our year to date total. And that was for a last minute sick call that we couldn't be replaced. Going to the ABDI software upgrade projects. The contracts have been signed, and I am in contact with the company, and we're just waiting for final verification to get the calendar scheduled so they can come out and do their upgrades. And I have a couple phone calls in with them, waiting for a couple phone calls back so we can make that final date to get the project started. Next issue would be the patrol vehicles. Do we want to wait for that?
Because it's a separate line item.
We'll wait on that. Going on to Rancho Marietta Association activities. Our citations this month are, we have 10 speeding tickets and we have two stop sign violations. So our people are out there making enforcements for those violations, which happen to be our biggest complaints, speeding and stop sign violations. Let's see. Regarding cameras at the lakes, our security patrol staff is continuing to receive training in how to operate all the new camera systems. And we're making sure that everybody on patrol can understand the camera system, can access the camera system, and pull up information if we needed it. So that's ongoing as we speak. In regards to RMA, I had a direct meeting with the GM over there, discussed the gate rules for the Riverview construction project people. In the later slides, you'll see that our biggest refusal at the gates were 20. And the reason for that was because of these rules that are in place. We had 20 construction workers that attempted to enter early to start constructions, and they were denied. So since these rules have been established, I haven't heard any complaints from residents. So looks like those rules are in place and they're being adhered to.
Amelia, this is Tom. Amelia, don't we have a graphic to show the gate refusals and stuff like that?
That's coming up in the next.
Okay.
Are you ready to?
Oh, you want to go there first before?
No. He usually does his monthly update and then we look at that. Would you like us to pop over there now, Tom?
No. Have Kelly finish this, please.
Okay. Kelly, go the way he's going then.
Okay. Security super. I'm on calendar to meet with Chris to just go out and actually Chris and I think his partner's name is Kevin.
Matt.
Matt. That was Kevin. Okay. Matthew to issue some citations in the middle of the morning or middle of the night, however you want to look at it. And so I will be doing that as well. I'm scheduled to meet with Marietta Village management personnel, as well as the Commercial Owners Association people. Scheduled to meet with them actually sometime today so I can make myself, introduce myself and see what concerns that they have. And if you want to move forward.
Okay, so now we're going to go over here. I did have to, I got this information late because of the way the month fell, and we wanted to make sure we had all of October on here. So this is a separate item that was posted to the internet, and here is October's violations, RMA violations.
Very good, Amelia. Kelly, I want to go back, and Amelia, stay on that screen, but two items. Item number one, I'm going to drop off a document that is called Security Department Assessment District Security Camera Strategy. And then that specifically leads me into the question I had on the new pole being put up. And this goes to Tom. Tom, if I'm not mistaken, we're not waiting for electricity on this particular. I thought we were going solar, or am I confused?
Which one are you talking about?
The one that Kelly talked about, that RMA is installing a pole and then they're going to run electricity.
No, the RMA is going to, they're going to put a system up by the sign that overlooks Calero that is solar for now. And when they finally get to the electricity, they'll switch it off.
Perfect.
The electricity, and the RMA is paying for the solar system.
Got it. Do we have a timeline?
I don't, but let me send Kevin an email. Well, meet with Kevin later today, so I'll have a timeline later today.
No worries. And Kelly, I'll get this camera document to you just as some background edification, because it was shared with me. Okay. So we'll go from there. I'm sorry. Continue with this screen.
Okay, are we ready to go on? And then our next slide is gate entries by type.
Right, you can see in the south gate that we're up a little bit, and that's because of the construction.
Okay.
And we look at go back. That's what they're talking about, the denied gate entry. I'm sorry, yes, one more.
Okay.
Yeah. The gate that were denied, there we are. Vendor after hours. It's 18 versus 10 last month, and that's because of the new rules that are in place, or not the new rules, but the rules that are being followed. That was the most we had this month, with where it was 10 or 18. Last month was 10. So
Kelly, let me ask you this. Was the RMA GM going to follow up with Rainin and Bartis in writing? Tom, if I'll put it to you, would you confirm that's been done?
Yes.
Thank you. Continue on, Kelly.
Here. Okay. Okay, and then go
through all that. And then here's the case narrative listings.
Go as fast as you can, please.
Okay. So these are the whole listings for every single incident that happened last month. And now we're going to pop back over here to the incidents of note. And you'll find the last few pages of. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me go back. All of the incidents last month are on the packet that was posted. On the supplemental items, I have the 29th, 30th, and 31st, because again, I posted the packet and then I had three extra days after Friday when I posted it. So here's the incidents of note.
Right, the first one we'll talk about real quick is the loose dog attack. Our security officer responded to a call of two loose dogs on Lago Drive. Our investigation revealed that there was a German Shepherd that chased a neighbor, and the neighbor had escaped attack by jumping onto a school bus. Our security officer approached the dogs, and he was attacked by the German Shepherd. However, he was not bitten. The officer was able to utilize his pepper spray, which repelled the dog, and they both ran back into the yard that they came from. Animal control was notified. We issued a citation to the homeowner, and RMA was notified of the incident and given copies of the report. The owner just contacted me this morning and wanted to know what was happening, and we referred him to RMA for further on that. October 12th, serving the peace, security officer responded to the Belly parking lot. A female was from the Wilton area. She said that she got in her car, unknown male to her began to yelling and approaching her in an aggressive manner. She fled to our North Gate, and then they called 911. The Sheriff's Department responded. However, our security staff and the Sheriff's Department couldn't find anybody. Positive note here is that even though she's a non-resident, she knew to go to our gate for safety, which is manned 24 hours. So,
Kelly?
Yes.
So at the end of the day, fantastic work by staff. And to that point, if we don't have, could we work on a procedure? So when we do, as this would probably, and you know better than I, but I would define it as a potential domestic violence, that should we have something like that, we have a process in place, meaning that we would lock and secure the building, et cetera, and do those things. If we don't have a procedure in place, I think we probably need to look at that. That's all I have.
Thank you. Yes, I'll look into that. Absolutely. Next one, October 21st, 2021. This is a burglary at the Retreat Trail. Between the hours of 17:30 and 23 hours, the resident left their residence to enjoy a night out in the evening. Upon the victim's return, they discovered their home was burglarized. Suspects had broken the glass screen door or the glass door, selected, removed high valued items, and then fled. The suspect fled the area of the victim's property. The Sheriff's Department was notified, and they completed a burglary investigation. The good news is the Sheriff's Department was able to recover prints from the scene. So hopefully that's going to result in identification of a suspect and hopefully an arrest. Victim was very upset, spoke to me for a couple hours about how we can improve security. I gave him asked crime prevention tips and how he could prevent this from happening again. And I'll probably be meeting with him a couple more times throughout the year, because he just wants to know how to prevent this from happening again. And I'd be more than happy to meet with him and go to his house and give him some crime prevention tips.
Excellent, thank you.
And the last one is a vendor in the back area. A security officer responded to a call behind Bass Lake. Upon arrival, the officer discovered a vendor from Earth Guard Pest Services who was stuck in the mud. The vendor stated that after the job of pest control was completed, he was just exploring the lake and the back roads and got stuck. The vendor was told that he must depart the location after doing his legitimate business. The vendor stated that he's been hanging out after his job for 30 years. No one has ever confronted him. On a side note, our security officer that went out there told me that, hey, no, we have confronted him before. About 2 months before, he was at our lakes and didn't have any customers. So he has been told this before. I've reached out to Kevin at RMA, and as well as Chris, and we're strategizing on a plan or a policy. So there's a clear enforcement rule for us as far as how long vendors can stay, when they should leave. And I am working with Kevin and Chris to get an answer with that.
So Kelly, if I can, for a couple of questions on this, do we have it documented that we had an encounter with this individual?
Yes, there's reports on this report that I had the officers do. I put everything together on the report. Yes.
Perfect. And so to that extent.
And Kevin and Chris both have a copy of the reports that we generated.
Perfect. So my initial thought process is we gave him the free pass, if you will, 2 months ago. As with any other violation, the second one is some monies. Mm-hmm. So as this moves forward, I guess we're going to ask RMA, to whom is the resident or residents going to be responsible for? And again, this goes back to the bigger issue of the barcode issue and vendors and the access and really who's accountable. And this is a perfect example of we're going to have to work with RMA. I get that they've had a no vendor barcode policy, but here's a perfect example of if this guy had a barcode and put the deposit down, we're done. We're moving on to the next issue. So that's my thought. Continue on, please.
And I think that's it until there's a truck slide. I think Tom's gonna start off on the truck.
So I do have a question. I didn't see it on incidents of note. Are you gonna talk about the off-road vehicle that was stolen from Bel Air the other day from, I think it was from the Schaub family while it was parked in the parking lot at Bel Air?
Right. That was happened just yesterday, and that would be on the report for next month. But I can give you what I know right now. This was Rick let me know yesterday. This was an unreported stolen. It wasn't reported to us. It wasn't reported to the sheriff's department. And initially, and I, when Rick came in yesterday, he had told me about it. He heard it through unofficial channels, and he notified one of the sheriffs that live here in the in North, and they started an investigation, and they did actually report it. And I just found out this morning that that vehicle has been recovered. It had a GPS system in it, and the CSP recovered it last night in Amador County. Did I say it?
Amador County.
Amador County. So it has been recovered and returned.
Well, and good. Just history. This young man works for Raley's. He has some challenging issues, but the family is just salt of the earth family. And even with his challenges, you know, he can't drive, so he has access through multiple ranches. He wants to work. Raley's has been fantastic at employing him. And then you just have, and I'm sure you can go back and edit this for me, Amelia, just some pieces of crap that do something like this. I don't know if the camera systems we have were able to get anything. If you tell me went to Amador, that means, you know, it was a truck with the trailer, et cetera, et cetera.
So, right. Well, the good news is that there is video coverage of the suspect, and that was turned over to the authorities. So hopefully, they'll be able to pull it together and arrest, but we have video coverage and it was recovered, and I'm
perfect. Just
gonna get the final, but hopefully they can do an arrest as well.
Yep, very good, thank you. Are we on to item number 5, Amelia?
We are.
Well, in that case, I believe, does this fall to Tom or is this staying with Kelly?
This falls to me.
Please.
And this is just an update. And we had this discussion at the Finance Committee on Tuesday. I have began meeting individually with board members, reviewing the questions. And I'm not sharing what either board member is saying, but I'm modifying some of the questions. And I'm working with Timothy McClurney, the pollster, on tweaking some of the questions a little bit, deleting, adding a couple things, and I'm going to come back to the Finance Committee in December with the hopes of finalizing the questionnaire, and then we'll take that to the board in December with the intent of running the poll in January after the holidays. And I just want to keep you updated as to where we're at with that.
Perfect, thank you. Item number 6, the ABDI software update. I know that Kelly covered a little bit of it. I don't know if there's any more on that end.
The only thing to say on that is once the company who's doing the installation of the upgrades receives their check, which they should receive it today or tomorrow, they will schedule the work. It's been a very complicated process due to the fact that ABDI has subcontractors throughout the country who do their installations and such. And this company is very busy. They do installation of this type of software at like Pebble Beach and other very richy areas. And so they schedule their work pretty far out. And then when they show up, they want everything to be perfect, no surprises. And so we're hoping when we get on their schedule, it'll work just like that. They'll come here and in a day or two be done.
And I understand that. And I also understand we haven't updated the system in quite a while. So we're kind of a catch up phase. But this might be one of those, and you guys as staff can talk offline, you know, is this something we're going to do on a regular, every 24, 36 month basis as we see needs, so we're not having to go through this argument that we've gone through. But thank you for getting us to this point.
Yeah,
item number 7, hot air balloon incident.
So Kelly, did Rick fill you in on the status of this one?
Yes, we ordered the hot air balloon. The FAA has completed their investigation, and basically they're not going to be able to go forward. There's not enough witnesses for any kind of criminal prosecution. However, they have made available a copy of their report, and we have to jump through a couple hoops online to get it, but that is en route.
And that's fine. And then I think at that point, RMA has some decisions to make. Again, at the end of the day in this whole process, I don't think the chase vehicle should have been allowed in. because it wasn't a resident. Resident didn't come meet him, but we'll work through that process. Very good. Item number eight, discuss security vehicle replacement.
Okay. The CIP for the current fiscal year, number 22-8-3, has allocated an estimated $35,000 to replace the two security Jeep vehicles with a single vehicle. And after our experience of using the Ford Ranger pickup, and everybody sees that Ranger pickup driving around now, we've decided that it's a really good idea to replace those little SUVs with a ruggedized truck, and we focused on the Toyota Tacoma. And so that's the direction we want to go. However, the Tacoma has two models. They have a model with the full-size front door and a half-size back door, kind of a suicide door. And then the other one is a full-size with four doors. Go ahead and show that one, Amelia, please.
There's the two-door.
Notice the $28,193 cost. And then show us the four-door.
And there's the four-door.
I'm not seeing it.
I'm not seeing it. Do I draw?
No, you're not seeing it. Okay.
Let's get the telecaster, the teleprompter.
Yeah, I could just add it on like John Madden would.
Yeah. So anyway, the four-door version is about $700 additional in cost, but it provides a great amount of benefit. And so before we go ahead and put this four-door vehicle on the street, I wanted to make sure that we gave anybody a chance to comment on it as far as, is it too extravagant, or does the functionality far outweigh the any sort of backlash on buying a nice truck for our security staff? And I've asked Kelly, who's an experienced police officer who's ridden in many different vehicles, to kind of hit the highlights. And so Kelly, I know you're prepared for this, so I'm going to let you talk.
Oh, thank you, Tom. Yes, when I was on Los Angeles Police Department on our Beast Patrol, we had Toyota 4Runners, and they've just done a great job. They take a beating. They're in the sand. We had great success with them. So that's been, and there's plenty of room inside. So I have personal experience with that. I've also reached out to our officers and asking what they want and need. A lot of our officers are taller and they're bigger, and they have several inches added to their waist with all the gear that they have to wear, the handcuffs, the weapons, the extra ammo cases on you, your radio case, and getting in and out of the vehicle, having that extra room makes a difference. They also have computers that they mount in their center console, if you will, on the floor, kind of like a mobile digital terminal in a police car. And when they go to all their security posts that they get signed off on, that's what they read, and how to get their information and how they're dispatched to calls. They read that center console screen. So you need room as well for that in the vehicle. We also train officers when they get here, and having that room inside a car, two people with all their gear, it just makes sense. The staff, they originally wanted the SUVs, because that's what police officers drive, is the Ford Explorers and the Tahoes. However, after Tom obtained that the Ford 150 for us, or the Ranger, they said, wow, this really works here. It's better for the roads. It's better for around the lakes. A small truck or a truck works better for us. And so they've kind of left that idea of going to a big four-door SUV, and they like the truck. The only thing that they request about the current truck, they wish it was bigger, because they have a lot of gear and getting in and out of it. So those are my comments, and I think there's only a $703 difference between the two. So, and even though total price is still well under budget, I think it's a win for the community, a win for the officers. And I think if you look around at any local security mall or any kind of state fair, you'll see that most of the security companies are going to either the four-door or two-door Tacoma trucks, because they really last a long time. And they're not as extravagant. So the Ford Explorer will be into $40,000 brand new. So, right, and these things have a record of lasting a very long time. So I think the district will get its money's worth with this brand. So that's just my take on it. So I think it's exciting. Make the officers feel well. I think it'd be, it's not too extravagant for the community. It's just kind of a functional necessity for doing security.
And Tim, I want to remind you, this is within my ability to approve the purchase. So this is just an informational item to make sure that we discuss this before we take the next step, which we're planning to do either this week or next week and put in ordering this vehicle.
Very good. A couple of things. One, would you just send a memo to the finance committee, just making them aware of we're moving forward with this because it is under your purview, and the funds are there. I know the Jeeps, we paid a lot more than this, especially in maintenance, which never gets factored into this. So at the end of the day, the district is actually more frugal in money ahead with this process. The other thing is, as we move forward with the maturity of security, just having the access to move some people around, I can see a toolbox being added for all the other disaster response components that the tasks that are going to start coming towards security. So staff, thank you for your background work on this. And yeah, let's move it forward, please.
Thank you. I just wanted to verify we're moving forward with the four-door?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
With the sunroof?
No.
And
right?
No.
Sirius radio?
No.
Oh, there we go. Good call. All right, Amelia, are we on to item number 9?
We're on to item number 9. I don't have any chats or any comments on that. And, oh, this is one of my favorite items.
I have no comments.
Nothing from staff. I think a couple of things. One, in Kelly nor Tom, I don't think I've thrown this at you, so I'm going to throw it at you now. Tom, would you have some conversation with Kelly, and then you can have it with Kevin since you're meeting with them, and I don't know what your agenda is. It might be a separate one, but my thought process is if RMA has added a new compliance person, they had some type of justification, and I'm okay with all of that. To that extent, what are the hours per week do we have access to them? And my point is, as we're issuing speeding tickets, moving violations, which are really kind of the safety issues, how is that being coordinated versus midnight, they're coming in doing parking? So I get we work for RMA and they set the priorities. So I think we need to have that discussion. If there's an RMA compliance officer available and we get a call dealing with a compliance issue, why wouldn't they be routed or contacted at the time of incident? If, and again, I don't know if they're doing after hours staffing on weekends, and we'll have to coordinate all that. But I just think we need to take a look at, there's a resource there that I don't know if we have access to or the expectations have been given to us. Does that make sense what I'm asking, Tom?
Yes, and it's a good question. It's a question I've tried to get answered before, but this really helps provide the impetus to do it now. And Kelly and I will meet and talk about coordinating efforts and what the possibilities are.
To that extent, then let me ask you this. Do you want something in writing from me to you that formalizes we shout, get a response from RMA, or do you want to handle it at your level? And then we can have some board discussion with the RMA board, especially the compliance officer, their board president, et cetera, et cetera.
Let me take a good run at it. Kevin and I, our collaboration has improved quite a bit over the last year. And I think I can handle it that way. At first, if I get any pushback, I will ask you to help out with the letter.
Very good. Because I think we're seeing a kind of a trend here where we can actually utilize our available resources, and our resources capability just increased. And so to that end, I think how we do the process of using both CSD and RMA for all effective purposes, our staff is a compliance officer. And so what does that mean exactly? I'm not sure. But because we are doing compliance work, where do their compliance officers fall in with this available capacity that they just added? And that's kind of what where I'm going with it.
Okay. Perfect. I can see a couple very useful collaborative activities we could do in distributing calls and maybe some assistance at running the front gate, much like they do at the country club helps us out with when they have tournaments. I see a big, when I get to work around, you know, 8:30, whenever I come in that time, there's always a backup at the gate with vendors lined up to get inside. And it makes sense to ask them if there's some collaborative efforts we could do to kind of move that traffic along easier.
Right. And if you would check your email, I've had a little bit of correspondence, not successful, but please check your email. Amelia, do you have any hands, chats?
I do not.
Perfect. With that, I'd like to thank staff again, Kelly. We're maturing this security department. On a professional level, I appreciate it. As a resident, I appreciate it. You were given some unfinished tasks that we're getting through. And then now it's going to be really what's our threat assessment moving forward and what's our capabilities of achieving some of that, specifically with disaster response and those types of things. So for that, thank you. Tom, thank you. Amelia, as always, great job. Everyone have a good day.
Thank you, Tim.
Meeting adjourned.
Thank you. Yeah.